are too kind. Let's go. Look, I don't even probably got to ask how y'all doing this morning. Y'all seem ready, man. Did y'all steal some of my energy this morning already? Look at there. Hey, thank you guys so much. Come on now, Dave. Let's go. Hey, super excited, man, to be here this morning with all of you guys. And there's some lovely weather out here. So, man, the sun is out, so the sun must be up. S-O-N. So, super excited to be delivering the message. I got a few things before we get off into the message today. And the first thing is we have a few things coming up with Grace Youth. Any youth in the building, any parents of youth in the building, make some noise. All righty, man. So, hey, we got some, see my boy John up there. Hey, so we got Grace Youth kicking back off September 13th, man. Cannot wait to get the students back in the building, start pointing to them on a more regular basis, man. Super excited about that. And if you guys heard Josh, can y'all give it up for Josh Munoz last week delivering the word? Come on now. Now, how many of y'all been actually watching y'all speed this past week? look, he told y'all about that. It's 55, not 75. So, so Munoz, Josh, he'll be running with our new 7th and 8th grade ministries on Sunday. So that'll be downstairs, both services. Man, that's just another step, intentional step we're putting in place for our middle schoolers to take that next step when it comes to bridging between Element 456 into Grace Youth and the big church. So parents, I need your help on this now, because we're trying to create this space for them, particularly for them, not only for them, but for you too as well, so that you can be more focused in here and get what you need to get out of here. And you don't have to worry about a 6th, 7th grade up there slouching and whatnot when you're ready to get a sermon. Hey, so I need your help. Get those students down there. September 24th will be our kickoff. Push them down there. They shouldn't even come back in. I shouldn't see nothing around here when I'm looking out. Now, 7th, 8th graders, y'all are downstairs starting September 24th. Amen? Yeah. Amen? All righty. Next thing, Next Gen. So we have this ministry called Next Gen, and that's bridging our students, our kids, and our young adult ministry. And there's a thing coming on the 24th as well after service. And I want you guys to check out this video right here of who's going to be there speaking to us.
Well, hello, Grace family. I'm Dr. Tim Hogan, and I want to invite you to come join us on Sunday, September 24th at the Parent Huddle after the 11 o'clock service. We're going to be talking about how to help our young people to cultivate a Christ-centered spirituality of sexuality. Now, when your pastors asked me if I'd come help with this, I asked why. I thought Instagram and TikTok were doing a really good job creating healthy sexuality in our young people. But they know young people really well, and apparently that's not the case. So, okay, so I'll be there, and here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna look at how to think really clearly about what it means to live a Christ-centered sexuality. We're also gonna learn how to love graciously, loving people right where they are, but also have the courage to speak out when we're in situations that demand it. So, if you're a parent or an aunt, uncle, grandparent, teacher, anyone who wants to influence young people in this area, we really hope you come join us the afternoon of Sunday, September 24th, after the 11 o'clock service. Hope to see you there.
Yes, and so, hey man, this is an area that we know is really prevalent right now with our youth and students, and then, like I said, we want to be able to equip and empower you parents to, you know, feel like you have what it takes to step in and even start the conversation with them, or some of you may be in a space where it's like, I don't know what to do. You feel like you're stuck, and I pray that you guys show up September 24th, and man, Dr. Tim Hogan's awesome speaker, man, awesome man of wisdom, and so I want you guys to get signed up for that there, and man, like I said, we'll have a separate thing for our middle schoolers, high schoolers, so that you guys can focus there. So that's September 24th. We can make that happen. Then the last thing before I get in it today, I just want to thank all of you awesome folks who showed up this Friday, man, for the book release, man, for my first book. Crazy times. It's game time, a game plan for abundant living, man. I feel like God had given me a word towards the end of, we were exiting out of COVID, man, and man, so many people allow COVID to send them into a state of numbness, man, and we don't know what to do with life, man, and this book is game time. It's me trying to give you as much energy as I can to get you off the sidelines and into life. If God still is giving you a pulse, he's still got a purpose for your life, and I want you to step into all that he has for you and whatever season he has. And so that's what this book is about. The church has graciously allowed us to sell some here. So it'll be a kiosk back there. If you're interested in getting that, I think just touch it. It may revitalize you. Before you even read a page in there, just touch it and you may get energized and fired up. So yeah, you'll be out there. And the good thing about today is if I'm around, if the Spirit don't want to cut up in here on this message, I feel like this is a great message. If you don't want to cut up, you may even get your book signed there today by myself. So super excited there. So y'all ready? Y'all ready? I'm telling you, if you came today, you wanted to come to church because you had 6 weeks to know who preaching right now. So camera people, y'all better get ready. I'm going to work out today, baby, because the Energizer Bunny is up here and I'm ready to go. I'm ready to get it. So I need you to grab your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8. I know some of y'all are like, Deuteronomy, are we getting serious? Hey, here at Grace, we like to stand for the reading of the word to honor God there. So we're going to be at Deuteronomy 8. We're going to be reading from verses 7 through 21. And as you're doing that, I want to multitask real quick. I want to show you a picture of a guy real quick. Show that picture of this guy real quick. Boom, right there. Dennis Schroeder. That guy's name is Dennis Schroeder. I'll tell you a little bit about Dennis Schroeder. Dennis Schroeder, he was a part of the Los Angeles Lakers roster from the 2020 and 2021 season. And he came in and he's offered a contract extension. And upon offering his contract, it was 4 years, $84 million. So that means $21 million per year on this contract. Well, Dennis Schroeder tried to bet on himself, meaning that Dennis Schroeder said, I don't want to sign this. I think I can perform well enough to where I can get in the hundreds of millions of dollars worth of contract. And so he went in the season and didn't sign the contract extension. And so long story short, what Dennis Schroeder ended up happening, the Lakers got put out the first round of the playoffs. Dennis Schroeder didn't play so well, and he ended up not having that contract extension and signing a one-year deal, catch this, for only $5.9 million. For my math people right there, that was $16 million lost. I don't know about you, but I could use $16 million. Sports analysts have coined this phrase against him that he fumbled the bag. Dennis Schroeder fumbled the bag. Why do I share that story with you today? Because it gives you the title. My message today is don't fumble the bag. Don't fumble the bag. You say, Pastor Kevin, what are you talking about? You talking about money here? No, I'm not talking about that. What I mean is when I talk about don't fumble the bag, it's about the opportunity for more, opportunity for abundance. You may have already fumbled the bag in the area of your life, maybe in the marriage, maybe with your kids. You may feel like you fumbled the bag in your health. It's all about how do I not fumble the opportunity of abundance. And so that sets it up. That's the message. That's the title right there. Let's get the reading right here. 7. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity and which you will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper, and you shall eat and be full and shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. God wants to give you some good land today, church. Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good homes and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of a land of Egypt, of slavery, of house of slavery, who led you through the fiery serpents, and scorpions and thirsty grounds where there was no water, who brought you out water from a flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and my might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you. So shall you perish because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Oh, that's some good meat right there. Heavenly Father, have your way in this place, God. We're open and ready. Our hearts are ready. God, plant the seeds. Bring the transformation. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody say it. Amen. 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 You can be seated. It's time for me to go to work. I got my tennis shoes on. We finna do this thing here. I may run track up here. So don't fumble the bag. Say that with me. Say, don't fumble the bag. I want y'all to get that there. You see, this is a message that Moses is trying to get across to this generation, because the previous generation before them, they had fumbled the bag. If y'all know anything about the story, the Israelite people before them were told that they had to wander around the wilderness for 40 years until every man of fighting age had died off. And the way they fumbled the bag was when God had freed them from slavery, from being in bondage, bondage that they had cried out to God about getting out of. He said, I'm gonna give you a promised land, set you free from this bondage that you're in. So they cried and got out of this, and God is saying, I'm giving you your own bag. And what do? They basically spit in God's face. See, they get to complaining. They get to building idols. They just get completely disrespectful and disobedient to God, all in the wilderness. They do all of this when they get to the wilderness. And my first big thought today as I was going through this, it's crazy to me how so many of us can fantasize over our Egypts or our past places of bondage when we're in the in-between time, when we're in the wilderness times. Pastor Ken, what you mean by the in-between time? See, the in-between time is the time between bondage and abundance. That's the in-between time. A lot of us lose it. A lot of us cave in the in-between times. And it's so sad to see how seasons of being between bondage and abundance can make us feel so uncomfortable that we choose to go back to a life that we once cried out to God about to get us out of, all because we're uncomfortable. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We make those empty promises to God in those in-between times. God, if you get me out of this one, God, I'm gonna be in church every day, God. Every Sunday, God, when the doors are open, I'm there. Yes. But you only show up, he gets you out of, then you only show up Easter and Christmas. Only so you can show off your outfit. That's it. That's all you doing. Or better yet, God, hey, if you get me out of this, I'll never date anybody that crazy like that again. God, you get me out of this relationship, I'm going to leave them crazy alone. Matter of fact, I ain't going to date nobody for the next 5 years. I ain't talking to nobody, God. We make those promises. You get us out of the relationship, we get to feeling lonely and whatnot, then we hit them up with that. So what you been up to, text? Cheesy face emoji. Or we do this. Hey, God, please, God, if you get me out of here, you heal my body from this sickness, this disease, or this illness or whatnot. God, if you just heal my body, I'm going to change my whole diet. I'm going to start working out. I'm getting that membership. I'm getting the platinum membership, God, because I want it all. He heal you, then you end up in the next Popeye's line with your toucan dying coupon ready. Oops, wait a minute. That was the sermon. That was my sermon from him, from me. Oh. No, because I got to be real, because this ain't just for y'all, this for the pastor too. See, we all got seasons where we desire to go back to Egypt. See, we'd be more comfortable at either extreme. Put me in bondage or put me in abundance, but don't put me in the in-between time. Don't put me in the wilderness. I wonder how many of us today are being turned back and wiped away in the wilderness, in the in-between time, all because we can't sit in the class called Wilderness 101 and learn what God wants us to learn. You see, if we can't do that, church, that'll have us fumble the bag. And that's what that previous generation did. But despite all of that, despite their ancestors and what they did, this generation is still getting the opportunity to enter into the promised land, the land filled with milk and honey, the land of abundance. I don't know about you, church, today, but I'm sure glad that the sins and wickedness of my ancestors don't affect my abundance today. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that the sins that I performed, the wickedness that I've been in, won't affect my kids' destiny today. Now, Now, I can maneuver things and I can set them back and whatnot, but what Moses is trying to get him to say right here, hey, they fumbled the bag, but you get an opportunity now to enter into something that you have control over, whether you fumble it. It's not about necessarily what happened to you. I get it. Things happen to us. Things are going to happen to us. Maybe not at our hands, maybe at somebody else, whatever it is. But you got to start worrying about how you're going to respond. How have you been responding to what has happened to you? How you responding may be causing you to fumble the bag. See, we have to stop blaming people when God has set us free and he's walking with it. Do you understand, like Sister Stacy told us, that we have the living spirit, the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living inside of you. What are we blaming somebody else for? God's got you. See, the big push throughout all of the book of Deuteronomy that Moses is trying to get across to the Israelites here is the way you don't fumble the bag is rooted in our ability to remember. Say that word. Say remember. 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 Yeah, because see, a lot of us take for granted just the simple act of remembering. But when we do that, can I tell you that if we didn't have the ability to remember, we could it can be things in our life that are harmful for us if we didn't have the ability to remember. Take me, for instance, growing up. If I did not remember to take the chicken out the freezer or take the trash out when it was overflowing, that could be harmful for me. I don't know about y'all, but that could be harmful for me. Hey, husbands, if you don't remember your wedding anniversary, that could be harmful for us, huh? Oh, sisters, let me bring up to you. Sisters, if you don't remember that hair and nail appointment right before that special event, that could be harmful for you. Picking up that phone call, oh, can you please squeeze me in? Please, I need to get this hair done. I'm looking like a hot troll out here. I'm looking like a hot mess out here. Please, I can't go to this event. Yeah. That could be harmful for us. But on a more serious note, if you continuously forget what time you have to go to work, that could be harmful for you. If you forget that you can't light an open flame by a propane tank, or that you're not supposed to touch a live power wire, if you don't remember that, if you forget that, it could be harmful for you. But if I bring it to our spiritual lives, let's take it to our spiritual life. What could be harmful for our spiritual lives? Well, something that could be deadly is not remembering the Sabbath like Doug and Meg taught us, or not slowing down like Josh taught us, or not being Christ-like and not Cain-like like Jordan taught us, or not remembering to follow Jesus' example like Matt taught us, or one that could be detrimental for our walk is not seeking to allow the Holy Spirit to dwell in us like Sister Stacy taught us. See, all of those things right there, if we don't remember those things, they could be harmful for us in our walk. And see, what Moses is trying to do is get the Israelite people to remind the VHS tapes of their minds so that they remember God's presence in their journey. I wonder how many of us here today are fumbling the bag, all because we don't just do the simple act of remembering. Because can I tell you, it's easy to forget about God when we win it, right? Yes. I'm up. Everything's up right now. I did it. But see, it's hard to remember God when we're winning. It's easy to remember when we up. It's easy to go to him, hey man, when our world is crumbling, when everything is crashing and whatnot, we run straight to him, right? We on our knees, we bet, we pray 7 times a day, we trying to do everything, follow every commandment, everything. Hey man, it's easy to run to him when we feel like we're down. But boy, is it hard when we run it in. When we win it in life and we sitting like fat cats. And see, what I love about what God did through Moses right here is he said, don't just remember what happened to you. He said, remember the details. Yes. He says, remember the details. Check it out. He says, I'm not only just with you, but I'm with you. See, don't just remember that something happened, he's trying to say, but remember what specifically happened. He's trying to tell him, paint a picture with the process of your journey. Moses is saying, don't just remember that you were in Egypt. Paint a picture. Remember that you were in slavery and bondage in Egypt. He said, no, just remember that you were in the wilderness. Paint a picture. Remember that you were in the wilderness and your clothes and your shoes didn't mess up. That you had, that your meals came from Chef Elohim every day. He said, don't just remember, hey, that you were in the wilderness. Remember that you were in a wilderness with fiery serpents, that you were in there with scorpions, that you were in there with no water, things that should have physically killed you. How many of y'all happy today and know that it's some things that should have killed you? And some of you, you shouldn't have the mind you have right now. And some of you shouldn't have the marriage you have right now. And some of you shouldn't have the health that you have right now. Things should have physically destroyed you, but they didn't because of the grace of God was on your life. Amen. God is saying, don't just remember. Remember the details and how I was with you throughout your journey. Boy, man, I was getting ready to go there. Thank you, Spirit. Bring me back. Bring me back. Let me get some water. Is this good for y'all? Is this good for y'all this morning? Okay, let's keep it going. And see, life, for some of us, is still shocking us because of what God has done in our life, how he's transformed it. When we thought we would never be out of the season that we were in. If you remember in that season right now, as I'm speaking right now, you know what he brought you out of.
That's true. Yeah.
And so you remember the details. That's why the psalmist says that this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Because God is trying to do put some details in today. He says, yes, remember that day is good. But when Jesus said, he said, pray that give me this day my daily bread. He's saying we can eat on yesterday's bread and remember that. That's good. But he said, I'm also trying to do something in the day. So we got to remember what he's doing today so that we can carry it on in tomorrow so that we never forget what he's done for us. Moses is trying to tell him we need to have a Picasso type of memory. The details of our testimony should paint a masterpiece for people and even ourselves that describe how magnificent and majestic our God is. Does your testimony paint a picture for other people? Does your testimony paint a masterpiece for others? If not, that could be causing you to fumble the bag. And see, we say, why do we need to remember the details? Well, not only so that we don't desire to go back to our Egypt, that's not only that in-between time to keep us moving there, but it's there to keep us moving in the midst of any trials or tribulation that's going to come before us. That's why we got to remember the details. See, God had to pull me together this recently, man. If y'all know, hey, man, my family, my awesome wife, she just brought into this world our number five kid, number five in the house, Dupree, number five. And so with bringing in number five, they were, you know, I'll get to that in a minute. Oh, my goodness, Holy Spirit, don't let me get too ahead of myself. So I thought that, man, okay, what's one more? So I say, okay, when she had the baby, I'm like, okay, I'll go back to work, you know what I mean, right away. Her mom was out here, so she had help or whatnot. So I'm like, okay, once you had a baby, I'll get back to work, get back going. Don't have to use my days to help because you're right here. Okay, immediately once I get out of the hospital, I'm sick for 2 or 3 days right out of the gate. Okay, and I'm like, okay, that's cool. Okay, God, we in the hospital. Hospital's nasty. They don't, okay, that's cool. But then when I come back to work, I'm foggy. People are like, man, you seem like you're kind of a little bit off or whatnot. I'm stuck. I can't get back into work like I want to or whatnot. And I'm like, what is going on, God? What's here? But God had to sit me down and he said, man, hey, man, I think you're getting ready to miss what I just did in your life. I think you're getting ready to miss some details that I did in your life. And he said this, check this out. Because see, I don't know if you guys know, you track with our journey, but if you know in 2021, my wife was diagnosed with AML cancer. And if you know what comes along with cancer, they got to give her chemo. And if chemo, as I was doing my research, is supposed to potentially kill off the fertility or mess it up for a good little time or whatnot. But a year after that, my wife ended up getting pregnant. And so that one itself was the details, if I remember the details, right? My wife was pregnant with a child. But the story don't end there. God said there's more details to this because, see, if you know our history with my wife, she doesn't carry babies as far along as she did around there. God bless her soul because she was all around here just like, get this thing out of me. People was like, hey, man, you about ready to pop. So she carried the baby longer than she had ever carried a baby in a womb that should have already been dead. But he said, I'm gonna give you a baby in there, but then I'm going to have you carry the longest you ever had. I'm going to have you deliver the biggest baby that you ever delivered, 9-7. Bless your soul. I'm telling you right now. Hey. And the let me tell you details, with no epidural. Come on now. Sisters, y'all know what I'm talking about right there. She about kicked and punched one of them ladies about 3 or 4 times. She said, you ain't doing this right. I'm not this 3 centimeters. I've been going in all day. But see, God was trying to tell me, hey, man, I'm not done birthing big things through the Dupree family. I'm telling you physically, but spiritually, I got some things I want to birth through the Dupree family. And I need you to remember this moment right here, because when I start birthing big things through you, church, can I tell you, God still want to birth some big things through your family. God wants to birth some big things through Grace Community Church. So we cannot just remember. We got to remember the details, because God is still in the process of birthing some things. And he needs to know that you remember that it wasn't your might or your power. He's going to get you through all of the situations for what he wants to get through there. See, Grace Community Church, we can't get ready to celebrate 125 years and remember and celebrate and whatnot. No, we got to allow those memories and that celebration to get us driving into the next season of obedience so that we can do another 125 years with the power of Jesus Christ. Boy, oh man. I got ahead of myself right there. God is so good, man. God is so good, church. He loves each and every one of us. He's been in your life. Stop doubting him. Stop turning your back on him. I didn't in my notes. Let me stop. Okay. Okay, let's get to that point. So remember, we must remember to obey. The reason why you remember, don't just remember. Remember the details. Don't just remember to remember the details. You got to remember the details so that you can remember and obey. Because see, Moses, what he's trying to do here, the whole time he's trying to drive home the connection between the Israelites' ability to remember and their level of obedience. You see, we can remember all we want, but if we don't, that memory doesn't allow us or drive us to obedience, hey man, it will be in vain. It will be in vain. If Grace Community Church just remembers, like I said, that 125-year celebration, if we only remember what he's done for us and we don't allow it to propel us, to get us up out of our seats, to serve like he's called us to give like he's called us to give, to pray like he's called us to give, it will be in vain that we remembered these things. We got to allow our memory to drive and fuel that obedience, because we can't remember, we can't obey what we don't remember. And so I don't want to miss that key component, because if you read Deuteronomy, which I'm encouraging, I'm telling you, Deuteronomy, if you are a true follower of Jesus Christ, if you love the one true God, Deuteronomy is for you. I know some of us get left behind in Leviticus and we grow numb in numbers, but I'm telling you right now, if you get to Deuteronomy, it's destiny in Deuteronomy. So I want to encourage you, go read the whole book of Deuteronomy, but it's meat there, and Moses is trying to combine all of these things, obedience, remembering, because I'm getting ready to take you in to something. And I got an analogy. Y'all know I like analogies and everything. The last one I gave y'all, burrito, I heard Chipotle and Qdoba sales went through the roof or whatnot that Sunday, whatnot. But let me give y'all an analogy of what God was giving me of how this fits out here. Because if faith is the vehicle, faith is the vehicle. It's the thing that gets us to the promises of God. Without it, we can't get there. We don't have any source to get us there. It says without faith, it's impossible to please God. Put that picture up for me that's got like the vehicle and everything. The Camaro, there we go. Any Camaro fans in there? There we go. Old school bodies there. So faith is the vehicle. It's the thing that's going to get us there. The gas pedal is our obedience. We get to choose whether we're going to put our foot on it or take it off or whatnot. We get to choose how far I'm going to obey, how fast I'm going to obey. But if faith is the vehicle, obedience is the gas pedal, then remembering is the fuel. It's the thing that'll keep you moving in the midst of your journey and into whatever God has for you. Hey man, faith will get you started and get you out there, but man, obedience, whether you choose it or not, but if I put my feet on a place of obedience, hey man, I may not get nothing, because it's kind of like, what am I doing? I don't remember I don't got nothing to remember. But see, remembering can take us far in our journey. It can keep us going in our journey. When we want to click on that pedal of obedience, hey, man, I remember how good God has been to me. So who am I to take up off this gas pedal? I better put my foot down because I got the fuel. I remember what God has done in my life. So I'm going full tilt for what you called me to do, what you told me to do, God. Because I'm moving in obedience because I got the fuel of remembering what you've done. So now y'all take that or what? I know you got, yeah, we got to break that up and kind of figure that out there. But vehicle, gas pedal, gas. There we go. So what now? Well, as I get ready to land this plane, what I've learned throughout my walk with Christ in this journey is that the more and more I remember it was him, the more and more I remember that it wasn't me. The more and more I remember that it was him who healed me and my wife and my kids and things like that, the more and more I remember that I'm not my provider or my protector. The more and more I realize that, hey, man, it was him who brought me into purpose and identity and gave me destiny. And then I start remembering I'm not the source of my joy, my happiness, my fulfillment. He is my joy. He is my refuge. When we start remembering more and more that it wasn't us who saved us when we were lost sheep. It was Jesus that picked us up, that carried us back to the throne of God and to his feet and said, hey, he's redeemed, washed him clean. Like the song said, he washed us white as snow. See, when we remember the more and more that it was him, the less we remember it's us. And I have this thing that I do. It was a fun fact that y'all didn't see up on there, but I collect rocks. I collect rocks. I'm a rock collector. Okay, not those rocks, not those rocks, not those rocks. I'm a collector of different rocks. Go to not that, go to the other slide. Big rock. I'm a collector of big rocks. Now, you right. Go back to that. They playing with me back there. I'ma get you. So I collect. Go back to that other slide. Right here. I collect big rocks. Say, Pastor Kevin, what is big rocks? I don't just trust my mind because this is the devil's playground right here. I need to write down where he showed up in my life. I need my big rocks. See, that concept came from when Joshua and them, when they were going into the Egypt and he parted the Jordan and he said, take 12 stones out of there to build a memorial on the other side so that when the kids pointed back and say, what is that stone? But you remember that he brought you over to the land of abundance. See, my family and I, we walking in that land of abundance. See, we got abundant peace, abundant joy, abundant favor, abundant anointing. We got it on our life. And so we walking in that abundance and I don't ever want to forget that he's with me. So I build a memorial. That's what I do. I keep adding to those. I mean, it's a plethora of them there. I'm adding scriptures. I need to make sure that I'm building a memorial so that I never forget. And y'all may not believe it or whatnot, but in times when I'm insecure about myself, or the times that I lack confidence, the times when I'm in my own personal life and I'm battling God, like, what is going on, God? When I'm struggling with my own personal stuff, I pull out my big rocks. And I say, I knew you was with me with this moment, so I got to keep stepping forward. I got to keep stepping forward, doubting if I can lead people or not. I got to keep moving forward, doubting if I can preach or not. I got to keep moving, doubting if people understand what I'm talking about. I move like 200 miles per hour when I'm preaching and whatnot. I got to believe that God is with me because he's been with me. I need my big rocks, church. What about you? When I become a New York Times best-selling author, and my influence increased. I need to remember that it wasn't my power, no, my might, like Deuteronomy just said. I need to remember that it was him in the midst of it so that I can stay humble and I can keep going in what he's called me to and not venture off into something he didn't call me to. And church, I prayed it this morning. Hear my heart. God has so much more in store for your life, young and old. Or season, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to call y'all. Season. See, some of y'all don't get it. The young people won't understand if you don't show them what you remember about God. Right. How are they supposed to move in confidence that it's a faithful God out there when you checking out? That generation, they can do their own thing and whatnot. No, what has God called you to do? I'm retiring. No. You can retire from a job. You can't retire from purpose. So I need you to go back and remember what God has put in your heart. And if it's with youth, which I hope it is, y'all, dropping it down. So if he told you to serve youth, humble yourself and say, I know this crazy generation, they may be crazy and whatnot, which I love them. But hey, man, humble yourself and say, how I can learn what this generation is going through so I can step in, because you got wisdom on you that they need, that you got just remembering on you of years that God has been faithful to you that they need. And so we got to step in. Church, God has so much more for Grace Community Church, and I don't want us to miss this. And I think we got a little bit of time. Okay. The band's going to come out, but I just want to do this right here. Can I do this, church? We can wrap it up our passage series, and it'll be great. I just want to do this right here, because I don't want us to miss the moment that God has. How many of us want God's more in our life? Raise your hand. How many want that abundance or whatnot? I know it may be crazy talk. Some of y'all, you like wedding it. No, I just want to. But I want to talk to the people who want more of what God has for them. And if you want more of that, then I just, like I said, we're just going to have a moment here. Because there's some of us here that's on the cusp. You right there, just like the Israelites. Just like the Israelites was. Don't fumble the bag. I don't want you to fumble the bag and then blame God down the road when you ain't following the one now, all because you fumbled the bag. No. We're going to stop doing that and blaming God and turning away from him. So, hey, I wanted to give us a moment and an opportunity right now, because it's whether you're in bondage right now, whether you're in the wilderness right now, or whether you're in abundance right now, God is saying, I'm not done with you yet. If you still have a pulse, God still has a purpose for your life. Amen. And so if that's you, if you feel like, man, dude, I ain't been remembering Pastor Kevin. It's hard. My life is just broken. It's in shambles, man. What is there to remember? And if you feel like, man, I haven't been remembering, I need you to, man, I want some people to come down. If you feel like, man, God has not been doing anything, I don't know where he's moving at in my life, and don't let the audience or the crowd, hey, man, we're going to get ready to go into a moment. But if that's you, if you're like, hey, man, I don't know this God, I can't remember, hey, man, I want you to come down. We're going to have some time at the altar to worship him. And now, the second one, if you are feeling like, hey, man, I'm in the wilderness, I'm in that in-between time. God, I don't know where you are or where you've been in my life. This is hard. God, I'm getting ready to go back. It's some of y'all right now, I'm speaking right now, and you know exactly what I'm talking about, because God is speaking in your heart right now. You getting ready to go back. You ready to go back to the relationship. You ready to go back to the alcohol. You ready to go back to the porn. You ready to go back to the addiction, because the wilderness is hard, and I get it. And so as the band get ready to play, I need you to come down to the altar, and I just want to pray for you. I want to pray a blessing on you. You better get this fire while it's on right now, because the God wants to change your life. And if you're in abundance, and you're sitting like a fat cat right now, and you saying, I got mines. Hey, I need you to break that spirit today. I need you to break that spirit, because you're limiting what the kingdom wants to do right here on earth. God says, let thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Some of you are sitting in abundance and you've locked the door to the kingdom. And so I need us to break that spirit today. And so I'm going to ask that we all stand. If you're in any three of those places, I need you to rush down to this stage. Don't miss what God wants to do and the abundance that he's trying to release to his people. We done with that. We done with settling for just a little. Because Jesus paid it all. We owe it to the kingdom to release that abundance here, because Jesus paid it all for us. So he made it available. So if you worried and scared, like, is abundance for me? Okay, let me tell you, Jesus already paid it all. All to him we owe. So if that's you, first one right there, if you feel like, hey, man, I'm in bondage, Pastor Kevin. Man, this thing is hard. Man, I'm trying to break this thing, but I can't. I can't do it in my own strength. Hey, I need you to meet me down here at the altar right here. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid. Come down. Meet me at the altar right now. If you are in bondage, if you feel like, hey, man, my bondage, I need this thing to break, Pastor Kevin, and I know it's only going to come not by my power. I've been doing it in my power too long, so I need it to break, Pastor Kevin. So come down here. I need you down here right now. The second thing, there you go. As you come, just come down. Just come down, and I'm going to go to the second right here. Hey, the second thing, If you're in the wilderness and you're scared and you're thinking about going back, if you've been thinking about going back, if you was coming to church saying, if I don't get a word from you, God, and when I leave here today, I'm going back. If you were thinking about going back in the next few hours right now because you're scared of winning, I need you to come down right now. I need you to come down right now. If you've been scared, you've been wondering, you know God set you free. You don't feel like you're in bondage, but hey, man, this wilderness is breaking you down. I need you to come down to the altar right now. And then the third thing. If you're in abundance right now and you know God has blessed your life, you know you in the promised land and you're eating good. That's why some of them said, that's why the Bible says, hey man, don't forget the Levites. Don't forget your brothers and sisters that are in Christ. Some of y'all are forgetting your brothers and sisters in Christ because you're sitting in abundance. And I need us to break that spirit this morning. I need us to break that selfish spirit, that spirit of greed, that spirit of pride. I need us to break that. So if you're in abundance today, and I'm not just talking about money. If you're in abundance of joy, you're in abundance of wisdom, you're in abundance of like I said, relationship, hospitality, and you're not unlocking that right there, I need you to come down right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Every one of you right now is saying, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. All to him I owe. God, I pray a blessing right now. I pray right now that whatever season anybody in that step down here, you know the heart. God, all I did was did what you told me to do, and I just moved on what you told me to do. But now, God, you got to do the work. God, you know the ones that are stuck in bondage, God, that are weeping and crying out to you. God, they want to be set free. They want to be set free from those things, God, but they keep trying to do it in their own mind. They keep telling themselves, I'm going to stop here. I'm going to do this here. But God, now that they move forward, because sometimes the posture of our bodies can represent the posture of our hearts. So, God, I pray right now that you break it on them right now, God. Let them feel that sense of freedom right now, God. The chains are broken, God. We've released the chains right now. God, and I pray for the people in the wilderness, God. I pray for the people that are in the wilderness right now, Lord, that you have called out, that you set free, Lord, but they're scared right now, God. They're in the wilderness with fiery serpents. They're in the wilderness with scorpions. They're in the wilderness. They think they're going to die, God. There's no living water, they say, that's in there, but the living water is there because you sent Jesus Christ, Lord. So I pray that they drink the living water today, God, that they remember Jesus Christ and what he did for them, God. So I pray also for the people in abundance, God. God, I pray down and I rebuke the spirit of pride. I rebuke the spirit of greed. I rebuke the spirit of self-ambition. God, I pray right now that we break it right now, God, so that you can move, so that your abundance can flow, so that the world might know that God is still on the throne, that he still has authority, that he still has power, and he's still trying to move, and it's going to happen through us. We are ambassadors for the kingdom. Hallelujah. Let us worship him right now. Let us let hear the devil say, devil, I'm in bondage. Devil, I was in the wilderness. Devil, I'm in bondage. But we gonna worship the God, the one that paid our debts, the one who paid our debts and raised his life up from the dead. We gonna praise him here today. Y'all better stop playing. Come on, give me some worship team. Give me some worship team. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt. All to him. You know what sin did. You know what sin did. He washed it. Remember what he did for you. Remember what he did for you. Go into the details. It's clean. It's clean. It's clean. Come on. Yeah. Will somebody touch hands?
Remain. We're going to have people down here that'll pray for you. If you're ready to go out, we just ask you to go out quietly. You can stay in the lobby and chat, but just head on out, and we're going to have people down here praying. Feel free to stay at the altar as we pray for you. God bless you. See you next Sunday.